Hello and welcome. You are now listening to Mixotroph here on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting here from unceded ancestral traditional Musqueam territories. I'm very excited for this episode. It's something I've been looking forward to for a while. I'm here with my friend Parham, just providing some of the backing music here. So wonderful on his tambour. And he's gonna bring us through an exploration of tambour and the sounds as part of his ethnic heritage. And I'm really excited. Welcome to the show, Parham.
Hi, Nolan. Thanks for inviting me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, this is amazing. We've been talking about it for a long time. I wanted to see if you could tell us a bit about yourself, your musical upbringing, your history, growing up in Iran, all about that.
Sure. I was born in a family that was very inspired by music, like many other families in Iran. And my mother used to play tar, which is a Persian instrument, wooden Persian instrument, string instrument. And my father used to sing and play percussion. For some reason, I got very interested in classical music. And I started learning piano since I was five with my very lovely teacher, Sina. He's now in France. And I learned piano with him for almost 12 years. And because my parents were in fond of Persian music, I was always exposed to it.
Yeah.
But I chose my own classical music journey until I became a teenager and I started exploring other music.
Was this here in Vancouver or in
Iran? No, it was in Iran.
Okay, yeah. Right. So they were listening to more traditional Persian stuff, and then you were kind of going against the grain.
Yes.
Listening to classical.
I loved also like Pink Floyd, Metallica, yeah. Michael Jackson, but my thing was classical piano music.
Beautiful. Yeah. And then was it only later on that you picked up the tambour in your life?
Yeah, there was like a little bit journey there. Like I tried electric guitar with my brother. Heavy metal and things like that. So I explored that a little bit. I loved Malmsteen. He used to play with Bach, like symphony orchestras. Yeah. And because I liked piano and I suddenly started electric guitar, I was like, this is so inspiring.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I don't remember what happened. Suddenly I got into Persian music a little bit. Mm-hmm. I started with sitar. And I was lucky to start with a very good teacher, Mehrzad Torabi, who really kind of nurtured me and helped me to learn the sitar, not just the music, but the culture and the history behind it. And then I started going to this trip, to this very mystical trip, to explore the Sufis in Kurdish parts of Iran. Mm. There are Sufis in Syria, Turkey, Iraq, and Iran, and for them music is a part of their practice, and dance is also a part of their practice, movement is also a part of practice. So I went to this trip to explore this mystical world, and that's where I learned about tambour, and I was so amazed on how music is integrated in their culture, in their history, in their beliefs, even in their everyday life. And since then I started dedicating my musical life to tambour.
Right, because in that kind of Sufi tradition, it's part of the devotional music, is that right? And part of the spiritual practice.
Yes.
Very long lineage, right, of tambour in so many different spaces across like Asia and the Middle East, isn't that right?
That's a very good point. Yeah. So tambour has a ancient history. They have find archaeological evidence that it goes for thousands of years ago, and it has been spread through many regions and countries. But sometimes when we refer to tambour, like mostly today, we are mostly referring to the version that was developed by Kurdish parts of Iran.
Okay.
Sufis in that region also use it as a part of their practice, but I think a lot of other instruments were kind of driven from tambourine.
Yeah, like we had a Turkish episode recently, and they were talking about the saz, which is similar kind of instrument. So it's
correct.
The tambour is like a whole family of instruments.
Correct.
Beautiful. So I was thinking it'd be great to listen to some of the music so that we can give our listeners an idea of what this sounds like for those who haven't heard. So,
So Nolan, I have a story to share.
Yeah, please.
We have this concert coming up, and I was in Victoria like a month ago, and I didn't have my instrument with me. I was looking out of the window at the water, watching the boats, and just, you know, I had a good morning and did a meditation like we did before the show.
Yeah.
And I just suddenly came up with this idea of doing the concert as a sort of story. And when you invited me to the show, I was thinking, you know, what should we do? And I thought, let's do a story, because that's what music is. It's expression of our like experiences and our lives. And tambour is such a good, like, you know, instrument to share stories of someone's path in their own exploration, in their inner worlds. You know, we talked about like vipassana and things like that. A lot of people are interested in these things, and tambour has so many melodies and stories and songs that share the spiritual journey or the journey of self-exploration of a person that is trying to get better. And regardless of your belief system, music is a universal language. We all connect with it. I've seen so many people connect to music that is just so new to them, right? It's a language that we understand. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I would love to hear you talk about that.
Okay, perfect. So let's start visualizing ourselves in our lives.
Yeah.
Getting ready. We have a goal. We want to become more pure. We want to become a better person, to have a more happy life. You know, whether it's school, whether it's we are a musician, whatever it is, we just want to be good, you know. That's, I think, what we are all seeking. And when we start, it starts by an invitation, the invitation to that path, to that journey. And for some people, it's an invitation or a prayer. For some people, it's by inviting their teachers, somebody that they see as their mentor. It could be their parents, or it just could be an opening of a radio show and inviting whoever is listening to the show. And in tambour music, I like classical music that is like more based on like C sharp, you know, D sharp, and is like technical, like breaking down the notes. It's more about what story it has and what connection it has to that land or to that person who inspired a culture or a group of people. So this maqam, they call it maqam, these pieces of melodies, is called jelo shahi.
Okay.
So jelo means in front of or in the presence of, and shah means king. But king here is symbolic. It could mean somebody that inspires you. Or in general, this maqam is used traditionally to open a ceremony. It could be when a great one is entering, like you have a party and somebody is coming and you're excited.
Yeah.
Or it could be someone you have a lot of reverence to or respect to. So I thought we can open our show and our journey with this maqam.
Great.
And I have put different versions of it because, you know, everybody's journey is different. So this melody can be played in different ways. So I have put together maybe three or four versions of it. But let's start with the most original one, pure one that hasn't been changed. Is that one? Yeah.
This one. Okay.
So let's listen to this and just visualize your life. And this is the start of the journey.
Beautiful. We'll be right back. beautiful. So what was that we just heard?
Yeah, so we started the show with this. At the beginning, I was playing the same maram. This was an original version played by one of the great Persian tambour musician and my teacher, Ali Akbar Muradi. If you are interested, you can find it on Spotify. He has a lot of these original melodies that have been passed through generations to us and has been maintained, luckily, that we can still benefit from and listen to. But as we were talking about our journey, how did you feel? Did it have this vibe of like starting something?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, yeah. Of just a new path forward, you know?
Right. So everybody's journey is different, right? So this maqam or this melody is an opening music for ceremonies, but everybody's journey is different. So also this maqams can be played differently based on the artist's taste. So just to get an idea of how a maqam can be played differently by different artists in different versions, and they are like raw material, right? You can expand it, some of them, you can be a little bit creative. Let's listen to another version of it, and a version of it that has other instrument, and maybe it's a little bit different beat, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe somebody wants to start their journey more upbeat.
Right.
They want to be more like,
yeah,
more movement.
That last one was like pretty solemn, like intense, like mysterious. I mean, there's so many different feelings that come from it. And another thing that I think is really interesting is this idea that you explained that it's passed down through generations.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, in other contexts, Western contexts, music is very proprietary and there's copyright. And if a melody is too similar, people will try to take the money. But I like this idea of it being passed down from person to person throughout time. It's like a beautiful way of keeping the culture, but also adding the each flavor and interpretation.
Yeah, that's what I love about tambour, because when I play something in tambour, I feel I'm traveling through time.
And
I feel I'm connecting to a group of people over hundreds of years. So actually in tambour, there are different categories of these maqams or music.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are melodies that have been passed through generations and they have been very well maintained.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are these melodies that are reserved for spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And then some of them are melodies who have been created by artists, like what is the most common music we hear right now.
Right.
So, you know, for them, this is a part of the story, is not the whole thing.
Yeah. Beautiful. So what is the next version that you'd like
to... So let's play the first track.
Okay.
It's the same maqam played with a different artist. It's an album called Awaz Asatir, which means the song of the legends or something like that.
Let's listen. We'll be right back.
How was it?
Beautiful. So exciting. Festive. Yeah, what was the name of that song that we just listened to?
So it's called Maqam Jalushahi. Maqam means that melody that is maintained over generation. And okay. Jalushahi literally means in front of the king.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you really want to visualize the song, we just tried some Kurdish dance.
Yeah.
While you guys were listening. And you can search Kurdish dance. It really vibes with this song. But, you know, movement is a big part of, and dance is a big part of their culture, that region mm-hmm. that they play tambour. I wouldn't say dance is a part of it, specifically tambour music, but it helps you to really connect with this music.
Right, and it's something that's celebrated together. And you were saying in anticipation of the arrival of the king or something?
Or someone
beginning of a beginning of a ceremony. Beautiful. And is there another version of this maqam that you... Where's the next chapter of the story taking us?
Yeah, there are many versions. Everybody plays it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But because of the time we have, I want to continue our journey.
Yes, please.
Our journey of self-discovery.
Yeah.
So we just started our journey. And we started our journey in two different variations. You can choose your path. Mm-hmm. But what is the next step? We started the journey and we have a goal. Let's say we want to get into a mountain or a forest or into an ocean, whatever you desire.
Yeah.
What do we need to get there? We need something to get there, right? So maybe because we are going back in time, we can get on a horse.
Okay.
To start our journey.
Great.
And horse here could be literally getting on a horse and starting your journey. But according to some musicians who are also a Sufi, it's also a symbol of spiritual aspirant on their path of self-discovery, right?
Mm.
So how does the horse, you know, move? Sometimes they walk, sometimes they gallop.
Yeah.
Sometimes they go slow, sometimes they go fast. So the path of life is also like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes really fast, sometimes a little slower.
Yeah.
And this melody or maqam is called Savar Savar, which means like, you know, kind of means riding a horse.
Okay.
And, you know, let's visualize ourselves getting on a horse and, you know, listening to this music.
Okay. Thank you.
you enjoy the ride?
Wow, yeah, I loved that. Was amazing.
It's beautiful.
Such an adventure in of itself.
One of my favorite maqams.
Savar, savar.
Savar, savar.
Beautiful.
So, everybody rides their horses differently. Their journey is different. Some people go faster. Some people go slower. There is another version of this played by a great tambour player, also known as a Sufi master. The version he plays has been passed through his teacher, and in every region they play tambour a little bit differently. Sometimes the rhythm is a little bit different, sometimes the strokes are a little bit different. By the way, a tambour, one of the unique things about the tambour is that on the right hand you have so many variety of strokes, like 16 or 17. So, you know, all your fingers are involved in different forms and shapes, and that's make it a very unique instrument.
And with that really fast kind of strumming that we're hearing, is that with the index finger up and down? Is that right? Like when it's like just to get that really fast speed of strumming?
Right. So there is one...
Or is it with the kind of the fingers
all
strumming
of them
up? Okay.
So you can play with the index finger.
Yeah.
You can... I can show you. I brought my tambour here.
Amazing.
By the way, credit goes to Ustad Asadullah.
Okay.
For building this, making this beautiful tambour. Their family have been making tambours
Amazing.
For hundreds of years in a small village called Gahore.
Okay.
I personally visited there. It's like a small workshop, maybe a little bit bigger than this studio.
Yeah.
But they have been making the most beautiful sounding tambours for, I think, at least 300 years.
Yeah, wow.
And, you
it's
know,
a beautiful instrument.
The technique has been passed through generation by generation. So now Ustad Asadullah is making it, and they have the name of that village as their, like, you know, brand.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So before we go to the other version of the Savar Savar Maqam, I just play some of the strokes.
Yeah, sure.
So like any instrument, you can play... you can, so I'm holding my tambour. It's it has like a wooden structure, like a pearl shaped structure. It has two strings, one of them is double, and we do have frets.
Yeah.
But unlike other Persian instruments, we don't have quarters because it's a more ancient instrument. And the way we play it on the right hand, the most common one is using all the four fingers going down like this. So I'm just playing open hand with my four fingers going down. And then there is another one that is a little bit more unique to tambour. It's playing the strings one by one with your finger when they go up.
It's beautiful just to watch the instrument being played. Like, it's such a fluid motion of the hand.
Right. And there's another one. So this one is called shore, which is kind of like a river or waterfall flowing.
Oh, okay.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
That's how it looks.
Oh, wow.
And then there's another one. It's called golris, which means like the flowers falling.
Oh, wow. So poetic.
Yeah, it's very poetic. So this one is like this.
Flowers falling.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible.
So these are some examples of the strokes you have on the right hand with tambour.
Amazing. Shall we move to the next next piece?
Yes. So the next piece is, again, riding on that horse, Savar Savar. This one is played by a great tambour musician and Sufi. And he used a very unique stroke, talking about stroke, that has been taught to him by his teachers and is specific to that region. In this version, they hit their fingers on the wood, which is very rare.
Oh, okay. It's percussive.
Why they do that? They want to portray that image of a horse galloping.
Oh, cool.
Like this. So let's listen.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing the effect of that percussion. It really does sound like a galloping of a horse.
Such a magical experience, right?
Yeah.
So luckily, this performance was recorded on video, and it's a performance of Sayyid Khalil Ali-Nejad in '90s.
Okay.
And this performance was actually one of the performances that kind of helped make tambour more known to public.
Okay, right.
Yes. So it's probably around 30, 25 years ago.
Wow, okay, that it's kind of had a resurgence in popular Persian kind of culture.
So if you want to look how it looks on the tambour, this is strokes, the video is available. It's also on YouTube.
Beautiful.
So it's a beautiful maqam, Savar. How is your journey going?
Good, yeah, I'm loving it. It's been a while since I've ridden an imaginary horse, but it's really transporting me.
I love you how you connect with tambour music.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So how do you want to take the rest of the journey? Tambour has a lot of things to offer. We have some options here for you. There is a maqam. Oh, there is a maqam that is about is a little bit romantic love story. There is another song that the songs are not called maqams because it has been made by someone.
Yeah.
We have also a song. Songs that have been written or composed by musicians are also a big part of Persian music and tambour music. So we can also have an example of that. And there is a song by Keykhosro Pur Nazeri, a great tambour musician and also a great music writer, and with a song by Shahram Nazeri. It's called Yavaran. So, you know, you are on your spiritual journey on the horse and you might feel a little bit mystical and tipsy or...
Yeah.
You feel like you're having experiences and you're just enjoying your life. So this has a Rumi poem, and the story of the song, so they use the Rumi poem on the music, is, you know, the experience of someone that is feeling so full of joy and ecstasy that they feel like they're drunk.
Yeah.
And they're saying, guys, I'm drunk. I'm just... The flames of passion are just rising from my skin.
Yeah.
That's the story of this song. And it's the number 12.
Okay, let's give it a listen. That's how I'm feeling right now. You're listening to Mixotroph. Here we have Faham sharing some beautiful tambour music, and this song that we're listening to is called
It's from the Heyrani album. Name of the song is Yalvaran by Shahram Nazeri ke Khosropur Nazeri.
Okay.
And it has a beautiful poem.
Yeah,
we're
tell
just talking
us
about
it.
That. So it's all about like love and passion, and the word that he's keeping repeating is that I'm in the mood of love and passion. I'm in the mood of love and passion.
Yeah.
And in the middle, he says, I'm drunk with the cup of eternity, with the chalice,
wow,
drink of eternity.
Beautiful.
I'm in the mood of love and passion. And then he says, the bartender who's bringing this drink of eternity for me, whoever that person is for this musician, he's like, I'm drunk with this, with their beauty.
Yeah.
In the mood of love.
Oh, the bartender as well? Okay.
So in a Persian poetry, there are different symbolisms. Some people take it literally and say, that's the bartender.
Yeah.
Bringing the wine and getting the drug.
But
and they have a point. But some people also take it as the person who is bringing you that eternal energy.
Right.
So it could be your teacher or, you know, an angel or something like
that.
But, you know, imagination is your limit. You can think of it however you want.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's all about love and ecstasy and joy and like to the max.
Yeah. I can hear it. So celebratory.
It is.
And so you're a musician as well. And I wanted to ask you about like your experience like playing in Vancouver, because there's a big diasporic Persian community right here in West Vancouver as well. And I wondered if you could tell me about the Melodies of Iran. Wasn't that a performance that you did last year? Can you tell us about that experience and what that was like?
That was such a beautiful experience. And so we performed with some other amazing Persian musicians here in Vancouver, Orpheum Annex. And we had two sessions. The first session was more classic traditional Persian music.
Okay.
And the second session was dedicated to tambour music. And we had my friend Atin, who played the daf. So daf is a Persian percussion instrument. And we had a wonderful singer with us, Pega, who was singing the songs with us. And I love that performance because I believe music, you know, is always beautiful instrument to connect us and take us to our true roots. And you know, when we were just listening to this music right now, it was rooted in happiness, in joy, in that path of self-discovery, in you know, being together, in caring about each other. And what I like about tambour is that the poems and the songs that are associated with this music are always about that. Is somebody praising their mentor, their teacher that helped them have a better life, or you know, welcoming someone, or talking about their love or their journey. And what made me really fall in love with tambour was that after I had that trip in Kurdistan, I saw the great teachers of tambur, the great masters who are holding this treasure of maqams that have been passed through the through generations. Mm-hmm. They were really an example of those melodies and songs. Mm-hmm. They were the most humble, loving, welcoming, and the level of hospitality in those villages, like I was invited to stay at the home of this great tambur master in Gahwara, where I bought my tambur. And, you know, a musician at that level, being so humble, inviting you to their home, giving you food, nurturing you, playing music for you. Wow. They even didn't know me. That amazing. That open-heartedness and how it represented in their music was so attractive for me. And yeah. I believe that is our, you know, our essence and our root. And that's what I liked about that concert, because the poems and the songs we were playing were taking us back to where we belong, in my view.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. And I remember you've told me about other experiences with great Persian musicians, and one in particular who I saw, I believe, 2 years ago at the Vancouver Folk Fest, and I only realized that it was someone you had told me about much later, but it was Kehan Kalhor.
Yes.
And I was sitting there, I remember experiencing that music and just being like, just, you know, when you have these feelings that you can't really explain or decipher, but it's just like it creates something powerful. I was loving that. And I remember, can you share the story about how you met this musician at some point in your life?
Yes,
right?
I've met Kehan Kalhor and I did some photography for him.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? I put one of his pieces of music, one of the beautiful ones, mm-hmm. that he played with Ali Akbar Muradi, tambour player, on the playlist.
Yeah.
And you just brought it up. It's already
beautiful.
On the list. So let's play it. And actually, that maqam, I wanted to have it as our last one. So everything came into shape.
Okay,
let's
beautiful.
Let's listen to it and let's talk about him after.
So this is Gol.
Gol Vakhak by Kehan Kalhor, amazing kamancha player, and Ali Akbar Muradi.
Let's listen.
This was a beautiful piece by Kehan Kalhor playing the kamancha.
Can you tell us what that is, the kamancha?
Sure, I can talk exactly. about the kamancha. But first, shall I talk about the story of
yeah,
this
please.
Maqam first? Because as we are
love these
getting
stories.
To the end of the session,
mm-hmm.
this is the most beautiful maqam to end the session. So everything has an end. Our episode has an end, and you know, life is cycles.
Yeah.
And this maqam represents the cycle of life in nature, and in our life and in the universe, like this show. And it's called Gol va Khak, which means the flower, and Khak means like dust, like land.
Mm.
And it corresponds to the fact that, you know, when plants or vegetables just, you know, the season ends and they go back to the land, they grow again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rebirth. After every death, there is a rebirth, is cycles. So in Yaristan Sufi belief, they believe that, you know, there's a life after death. and they play this maqam when somebody passes away to celebrate the flower that will grow from the land that they're buried. And they don't see them as death, but they see just another episode, another day, you know, another cycle, like how it works in nature, like how it works in this episode. There will this one will end, but there will be another one, a better one.
Well, I don't know. This is pretty good.
So it's called Gol va Khak, and it's like a traditional ancient maqam by tambour, and it's originally played with tambour, but in this one you can be creative. Kehan Kalhor played the kamancha, and you asked about kamancha. Kamancha is an instrument, perhaps the most similar one in classical music that we could connect it with is a cello or a violin. So if you're sitting on a chair, you put it on the chair and you hold it upright. You don't put it on your shoulder. You put it on the chair, you hold it upright, and then like a violin, you can play it. It doesn't have frets.
Okay.
So as you could probably hear from the music, it was more flowy.
Right.
Kehan Kalhor is so good at playing it. And he's so good at playing with other musicians. He just had a concert here in Vancouver, University of British Columbia Chant Center a month ago.
Can't believe I missed that. Did you get to see him?
No, I didn't get to join that one, but I always enjoy his music and benefit from his inspiring melodies. Kamancha.
What I love about him is that he collaborates with a very diverse range of musicians. Like, he made an album with Toumani Diabaté, a kora player, I think called The Sky is the Same Everywhere. So kora, West African kind of music. And I feel like that's a very expressive ancient lineage that we've talked about before on the show, but and he's also done work with sitar players, done ragas. So it's kind of beautiful to see the tambour and the cross pollination of these sounds and feelings that have been so deeply rooted in your culture and so many cultures. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's so beautiful how music connects. He actually has a album with Yoyoma.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have a band called Silk Road.
Silk Road Ensemble?
Silk Road Ensemble.
Oh, okay.
So Kehan Kalhor plays on that as well. And they have musicians from other nations and cultures as well.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful when all these cultures and countries and musical experiences come together so harmoniously and beautifully.
Yeah.
I was actually just taking a lesson with Yoyoma in the holidays.
What?
Yeah, he has this online course.
Oh, cool.
And after I listened to that, he was talking about the connection of heart, mind, and your hand as a musician, and the values of trust and integrity and connection. And I was like, this cello player, amazing cello player stories reminds me of the stories of Mohammad Reza Lotfi, the sitar player, because he also says the musician, when they improvise, they express their vibration. It's about human expression. Exactly what Yoyoma was saying.
Yeah.
This great Persian musician Lotfi was saying how important it is for the musician to purify themselves, so the vibration they put out is also attractive for the listeners.
And it seems like that's what you were saying with your meeting of these great musicians, is that they really embodied what the music was saying. And
Yeah, it was so interesting for me. After I was listening to Yoyoma, I was sharing with some of my friends that it brought me back to Kurdistan, where the great tambour player, Ustad Yar Veysi, who has passed away a few years ago, he was also living those values. And he was the person that really touched my heart with his generosity and just his love. And then I realized, you know, this person really is an embodiment of these Rumi poems and this music. And I realized after listening to Yoyoma that these concepts are so universal. Like Yoyoma was saying, like, I was playing cello since I was five. And until I've been playing cello for more than 40 years. And he was saying, I was getting it wrong for 30 years because I was obsessed with perfection. And only after I traveled around the world, I realized it's not about perfection. It's about human expression and connection. And yeah. his story just connected everything to me, that, you know, music is a tool to connect us to each other, express our human values, and brought me back to, you know, where I got inspired with tambour, and how, you know, tambour has roots in the expression of the values and the cultures and beliefs of these people, who are rooted in, you know, love, self-growth, respecting your loved ones and your teacher and things like that.
Wow, amazing. I love it when that the music is so embedded in the philosophy and the culture, and it's how music has been for so long, and it's only now that music exists in a very different, complex landscape. But what is beautiful about these folk traditions, these traditions of music that have long lineages, is they're bound up with the people and the values and what they're passing on to the next generation, and they're passing on literally some of the same melodies from hundreds of years ago.
So Nolan, talking about that, my lovely teacher Haydar Kaki, he just wrote a couple of books about the history of tambour and how it's integrated in the culture and the folk, you know, background of that region.
Cool.
Maybe that could be something we can talk about.
Yeah,
later.
I just sure.
love those stories of how the music explains those cultures over time.
Yeah, wow. Well, this has been such an amazing time with you, Faham. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For sharing. We've gotten to the end, but I feel like I could listen to your stories another hour or two, but maybe there'll be a part two someday in the future with more of your performing.
But, Thank you, Nolan. You're such a great host, and we just did a meditation. You were so open to try things.
Yeah.
You listen to different music, and you connect so well with it.
I love it.
I was feeling like I'm at home here.
I always feel so grounded when I speak with you. Faham brought me through a little meditation before starting, making sure everything is in alignment. That was amazing. Is there any other future performances for you on the horizon, or anything you want to shout out?
Yeah, we have a performance announced planned for March.
Okay.
So there will be a traditional section, traditional Persian music.
Okay.
And there will be like a mystical Sufi section that has tambour. Oh. So it's not publicly announced yet.
Okay. Sneak peek.
Sneak peek.
Do you know where it will be?
It will be in West Vancouver Kaimik Center.
Okay. Yeah. And all right. So Kaimik Center?
Kaimik.
Okay.
In West Vancouver.
All right. I'm going to keep my ear out for that.
Yes.
That sounds lovely.
I'll definitely let you.
Yeah. Great. Well, thanks again, Faham. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. We hope you enjoyed this lovely, expansive time discovering tambour. And we'll see you back here in 2 weeks' time from 6 to 7. It's my normally scheduled time exploring world music. And thanks a lot, Faham.
Thank you so much. And thank you, all of you, for listening. I hope you enjoyed the beautiful tambour, and you are inspired as much as I'm inspired with it. And I hope you have a lovely evening.
Good night, everyone.